You're listening to The Record Industry with Otto D. Coming at you live.
Shot like a steering through the Eiffel Tower.
Yes, which way, what, when, how? Mr. Otto D, flip the track right now.
Hey, I'm Otto D. Thanks for tuning in. We're going to listen to some great music and talk to some really cool people. And I know there's a lot of things you could be doing, so I appreciate that you're getting with this.
Here we go, another day, another strike. Here we go.
But they ain't got no rent. Act like you own the joint. Money don't mean much if you ain't got no sense.
Hey, thanks for tuning in. Tonight, my guest is the charismatic lead guitarist and lead singer for the band The Black Moods, Josh Kennedy. So stay tuned. And to get you in the mood, here's a cut from Earl Greyhound.
Yeah.
You're listening to The Record Industry with Otto D.
And I am Otto D, and on the phone with me is the lovely and talented Nikki DiGiorgio. Nikki, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you, Otto? I miss you.
I miss you, but what's going on? You're not here. You're in your car stuck in traffic?
No. I'm in Las Vegas.
Oh, that's right. You're in Las Vegas. What's happening?
So much. I came out for 3 days. I was working as a promotional model for the Link Hotel and Casino, promoting their high roller observation wheel, which is actually the biggest in the world right now. It's bigger than the London Eye. So they hired a bunch of models to come out and promote that right now.
Of course,
now,
when anybody's going to promote something amazing, they hire Nikki DiGiorgio.
Yes, I guess so. Thank you for saying that.
So that had to be fun.
Yeah, no, it was super fun. We did that at night, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m., so the sun was, you know, just going down, and the weather wasn't too unbearable. And, yeah, and then Sunday, I got a call to go to a go-see audition for the Magic convention that's in town right now, and it's not magic like you would think, like magicians and tricks and acts and things like that. It's actually a huge convention that goes on here in Las Vegas. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but it's twice a year, and it's for shoes and clothes. And all the buyers all around the world who purchase clothes and shoes for their boutiques come out to Vegas, and they get to shop around to all of the lines. And so there's everything from, you know, BCBG and Calvin Klein, any type of brand name that you can think of. Yes.
So we talk about when you choreograph a show, you might change costumes 9 times, but we're talking you're changing 50 times now a day in this show.
Yeah. So I actually got, so last minute I got called into the audition yesterday, and I got booked. So I'm booked as a shoe/leg model.
Okay.
So when the buyers come in, it's actually pretty interesting. I've never worked this convention before. Didn't even know what it was.
You have a background in magic. So when you heard about the Magic Convention, I thought you might have thought it was something else.
I did.
That's how you started out. I recall when you were my guest before you were my regular co-host, you had a gig working with a magician on the East Coast.
I did. I was a magician's assistant for a year back east. So... Yeah, I actually, once I got this email about the audition from my agent, I swore that it was a magic show. I had no clue what it was. So,
cool.
So surprised by that. But, yeah, so basically we have an appointment every hour on the hour with buyers that come in, and they look at a bunch of shoes, and I have to stand there and put on maybe 50 pairs of shoes in an hour, and they see how it looks on me, on my feet, on my legs.
Wow.
And that's how they decide what they order and how many pairs they order for their stores.
Do you get a commission?
I do not.
That's too bad.
If I was selling them myself, I would.
I would show them pictures. You know, your employer, I'd show them pictures of really fat, ugly legs and go, look, if they were doing this, you guys wouldn't be making anything. I want 10% of my legs.
Exactly.
I'd pay it.
Yeah, so I did that today from 9 to 5. So you just caught me. I just got back home here. And
you're working tonight too then?
Dinner and I worked. No, I'm off for the rest of the night. I work tomorrow during the day. And then I'm doing the same thing on Wednesday. And then Thursday I'm shooting a web type of promo modeling for a... how do I explain it? Have you ever seen those internet?
That's the beauty of our show. You don't have to explain it. I'm already tired. Okay. I'm done with it. Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Are you going to be back here next Monday, or are we going to have to do this on the phone again?
No, I will be back next Monday.
Unless you get a gig?
No, I'll be back.
Well, the funny thing is the next week I'll be in Vegas. I think you're going to be here with Elvis, right?
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
I'll be with the other thing. So.
Okay. All right, well, we'll just miss each
other. Okay. Well, listen, I wanted to thank you for your time today, and it's great to hear about the show you're involved in. I'd love to see some video of you showing off your legs and those new shoes for everybody. It's got to be awesome.
Yeah.
And just to give a quick shout-out to our guest, Josh Kennedy. Josh, come on the line and say hey to Nikki.
Hello, Nikki.
Hi, Josh. I'm sorry I missed you today.
Yeah, we got to see you in the video that he showed us to earlier, so.
He's really sorry.
Yeah, we're really sorry now.
Oh. Well, I'll have to meet you another time.
I'm sure we'll
How
be back.
How about we do that?
Yeah,
sure
we'll be back. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All
well,
right.
Listen, Nikki.
Sounds like a plan.
All right, we'll let you go. Thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, it's great talking to you guys.
Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
All right, you too. Bye. Bye.
And there you go. You just met my guest, Josh Kennedy.
All right. That was awesome. That's
so
exciting.
Listen, yeah, she's a fun part of the show. It's always fun to talk with Nikki. And, you know, I think from the video, if anybody wants to go see the video, search Auto D on YouTube and look for Take It to Another Place, and you'll see Nikki's legs, and you'll know why they hired her for that show.
Sexyvideos.com or something like that.
Yeah, really. But, all right. Well, listen, Josh, you are the lead singer and lead guitar player for a band out of the Phoenix area called the Black Moods.
I am.
And not only do you have a record that came out a few years back, actually, but you have a brand new record that's coming out.
We do. It's supposed to be out at the first of next year, first quarter, so we're excited. It's been done for... We got the masters back a few weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, I think, or something okay. like that. So we're really stoked.
Pretty excited. Have done any video work yet for it?
No, we haven't done anything. Nothing yet. We've been touring, actually, since we got it back while we were on the road. And so now we're just kind of getting the artwork together and all that.
I was going to say,
stuff.
You guys have been really working hard.
That's all we do.
I know. I mean, the last time I saw you, I think, was at the Rock Bar. And I think you were that's the last time I saw Dave. And I think you were just going to Oklahoma or something. I mean, you guys.
We kind of go between like Arizona and California. We do some runs here into Mexico, and then we'll go across and do like Oklahoma, Arkansas, Missouri, Kansas, and Indiana, and all that, and down in Texas, and then back. And so we just kind of keep going back and forth for right now.
So how many years has the Black Moods been this ensemble? These three guys.
We've been playing together for a while, but. The record we put out ourselves, of course, was in 2010.
Okay.
So really about 5 years, we've been hitting it really, really hard. And, you know, we're kind of, as of this past year, we've been really, or past 2 years, we've been really involved in, like, finally, you know, getting into the music business part of it instead mm-hmm. of just being, you know, the band that's going around and just playing the, you know, Yucca Tap Room. The Yucca Tap
right.
Rooms are the thing, which is nothing wrong with that, but, like,
right.
we're, you know, we're kind of moving on to doing bigger stuff like that, which we're really happy
right.
about.
Well, a couple things I wanted to mention. When your record came out, the last record came out, Caleb Haley did an interview with you for New Times, and he called
Love
you guys,
guy.
He described you as stripped down, in your face, rock and roll excellence. Now, if that's
okay,
if that's on your debut record, what are you going to do now?
It's good. It's definitely a step up. Like our writing, you know, it's gotten better. Everything, if you just always try to outdo.
Well, it
and,
should. Yeah, that's good.
And yeah,
what's the biggest difference between this record and the last? Is it strictly that you feel like just matured? You
the
think
last
you
record,
at all?
I wrote the majority of it just by myself, and you know the guys come in and did, you know they put in, but a lot of it because we'd been apart for a while,
mm-hmm.
so we had some time off. So I just wrote and wrote and wrote. So I came in with this catalog of songs. Where the new record, we co-wrote two of the songs on there with Kenny Carkeet from AWOL Nation. So those guys came in. We got to pal around with them cats, which is, you know, they're huge right now and really killing it. So it's nice to be, you know, in that kind of in the camp with those guys. So
mm-hmm.
I did a couple more co-writes on this thing, which was really
cool.
fun. I was scared at first, you know, like these are my kids, you know, these are my babies.
It's a whole different experience co-writing.
But I was definitely, because we were on the road and they're like, come back, you're going to write with Kenny from AWOL Nation. And I was like, what? Who's Kenny Carkeet and all this kind of stuff? And then wound up, we're like so close and give
cool.
each other a hard time. Well, it's a really cool relationship now. So, and I like it, you know. It just, we also wrote, been writing with Max Collins from Eve 6
mm-hmm.
and so a bunch of these cats. So it's just fun. It's
cool.
a different animal.
And you're not taking a break. I mean, you're pretty busy the next couple of weeks here in the area. You're playing The Last Exit on Friday, Friday. And then you're playing
Focal, I think is how they say
Focal.
And that's on Saturday. And
their
then,
new location. Where they
and it's a really cool spot. We've never played there before, but we got back in town Sunday. Is that yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yesterday.
They're usually in that order.
Right, yeah.
I have a hard time keeping track.
Right. I don't even know what today is. So we got back in town and we're in Phoenix until the following weekend.
Right, you go up to play with Roger Klein and the Peacemakers.
Yeah,
sold out shows. Already sold.
That
out.
Was pretty great. Yeah, because they had one that was just supposed to be on Saturday,
mm-hmm.
and that sold out so quick. They put one on Friday. And
this
then,
is up in Pine Top. Right?
Yeah,
what's the venue?
It's called the Lion's Den.
Okay,
and it was 60 degrees when we were up there last. So we're looking forward to that again.
Getting out 117 we've had this week down here.
Oh my gosh! Yeah.
Okay, well, that's pretty cool. Well, let's talk about that new record. I'd love to spin a track from the new record. I know it's not going to be out till the first quarter. On your website, though, you've already auditioned a cut. There's like one of the cuts is up there, so at least people can hear it.
Oh, good.
I think.
I believe you.
Are you unfamiliar with the website? And that tune is called How Long. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And I think that's a, first of all, before we spin it, let's talk about your producer, because I think you're still working with Jim Kaufman.
Yep, Jim Kaufman.
And he did your first record.
Yeah, he did.
Well.
He did. It was kind of another initial thing where he just kind of called me up and we got to talking and we decided to do that record. And between L.A. and then his cabin in Sedona, we just recorded the whole thing. And then this time it's all in L.A.
Well, it sounds incredible. And I remember the first thing I heard that Jim had done was an Opiate for the Masses record. And I remember I heard that and I thought, holy cow, this cat.
Yeah, he just keeps getting better and better.
I know, and that
too,
was a long time ago. Yeah. And what I thought, hearing, you know, knowing your last record and then hearing this cut, because again, I've only heard what you gave me, it's a little bit different. It is a little bit different. It's cleaner and more in your face, I think.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Well, and the gear that we got too is a lot of just vintage, awesome, stuff. So we got to play around with a lot of things in the studio.
It sounds really cool. So let's kick off maybe your internet radio debut of the new album.
There you go.
Call it that. With a cut called How Long from the Black Moods upcoming disc.
All locked up inside, but tonight you're unwound. Not so sure of yourself, without any doubt. Taking way too long. You're taking way too long right now. 'Cause I've been dead inside, I can't say for how long. We all get lost sometimes, I can't say for how. Since I seen you out, but I can't see your face, I just know you're around, around. Hey, it's been way too long, and you're taking way too long right now. Can't say for how long. We all get lost sometimes. I can't say for how long. How long can you take it tonight? But don't you take it wrong. Oh, wrong. You're taking way too long. You're taking way too long. Say for how.
That was How Long from the Black Moods upcoming records, and you are listening to The Record Industry with Otto D and my guest, Josh Kennedy.
Yep.
So that's a killing song, man. I really like that.
Thank you.
You know, we've talked about your influences, and you mentioned one of them being the Gin Blossoms.
Yeah.
And yeah, I can hear a little bit of a Gin Blossoms thing in there, but also I really hear a little Matchbox 20 on that.
Oh, yeah. See, those are the bands I grew up on. I'm a 90s child, you know?
Yeah.
We're like those guys and the Stone Temple Pilots and all that whole, like, they were like the the nicer side of the Allison Chain, Stone Temple Pilots guys. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Except, right.
Like, I really gravitated towards the Jim Blossoms just because the melody and like, you know, you can't. Doug Hopkins, that first record, miserable experience. I know, you know, if it was possible to wear a CD out at the time, I did.
Yeah.
I know I did.
Oh, it's a great record.
And all my friends probably got super sick of it, but.
Whatever. Well, and I think that the, one of the great things about commercial writing, whether it's pop or jazz or country, is melody. And it's the pop aspect of it. And I think you have a real pop sensibility to rock and roll. You don't let it just go crazy like some rock bands that we love really jump off the deep end in the only thing they respect is the rock.
We're saving that book, the third
style
or fourth
of
record.
What they do, yeah. You know, but the melody and having a catchy melody and a sing-along song is one way that or to let your audience really participate, the ones that aren't guitar players, you know?
It's really cool because the shows we've been playing, because the record isn't out yet, but the audience seems to know all the songs, all the lyrics to all the songs, so it's kind of a...
Well, there's a few on your website, they already did. Yeah. Probably that says a little bit about how many people follow you around.
Yeah, it's been great. The crowds have been really, really awesome. And, you know, it's this response and everything to all the new material and everything's been really great.
What's another track?
We got another song called Paralyzed. And this track I co-wrote with Kenny. And it was just a blast. And it kind of shows, because the new stuff that we've been listening to, like really like overdriven bass, heavy kind of.
Yeah, the bass is a little gritty on that
last
track.
Yeah, we're definitely going for that. You know, like. We wanted it to be minimal on everything, just kind of come across to where it wasn't a bunch of overdubs and a bunch of, you know, there's still overdubs and all that kind of crazy vocally stuff.
But the record still translates onto the stage real well.
Yeah, it does. We pull it off really nicely, just, you know, because we're only a three piece. So there's definitely more than, you know, with the overdubs and everything. But I like it a lot.
Well, you like it a lot. That's great.
I like it a lot.
You should. It's your record. So here comes another cut. What's the name of the album going to be?
The name of the album is Medicine.
Medicine.
It's the Black Moods Medicine.
Being released in the first quarter.
Yeah, and it's good for what ails you.
It's good for what ails you. Love it. Cut called Paralyzed.
In the air, there's some kind of energy.
And that was Paralyzed by the Black Moods here on the Record Industry with Otto D, where my guest is Josh Kennedy, the lead singer, lead guitar player, and songwriter of that track, actually.
Kenny Carkey and Mike Jarvis are cool. Who we co-wrote that with. And a funny story on that is there are no cymbals on the track. There's one hit of a cymbal on the bridge, but we took all of Chico's cymbals off of his kit, and we're like, and the guys put out, try something different. So they put just percussion stuff, like a tambourine and a woodblock, and so it was pretty interesting to watch that come about, but it came out really well, you know.
Cool,
really
sounds great. And speaking of Chico, who the heck is he?
I don't know where he is. I think he's still parking the car.
But he's your drummer.
Yeah, he's our drummer, and he's in actually Los Angeles. We have a couple of days off, so
okay.
He went back there for a few days.
You mentioned the band's a three-piece, but
yeah, and Paul Phoenix, he was supposed to be here. I don't know where he's probably stuck in traffic, too. He's probably with Nikki. In Vegas, he took off.
That's what happened.
I decided to come over and hang out with you by myself.
So there you go. That's the way it goes. That's very, very cool stuff. Let's go all the way back now. We know a little bit about the band, and I've heard a little bit of the new record. So when you were growing up, you're actually from the Ozarks area, right?
Yep, from Missouri, right? Southwest Missouri. Okay. There's 600 people in that town.
Yeah, where we used to vacation from Illinois every summer.
Right,
to the Ozarks, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I probably kicked you around.
You probably did. That was you.
At the common, park or pool.
Get in line.
Well, growing up then, were you the only one in the family? Were there 10 kids in your house or what?
No, I have a younger sister.
A younger sister.
Yeah, she's pretty ornery.
And how about music in the house? Were you the only
musician? Yeah, my dad was in the band. My dad and my uncle played in the band. That's kind of how I just, my mom went into labor with my dad's show.
Oh, really?
So she had to leave and,
And you were born?
Yeah, and there I was, I guess. So, so it was always music going in the house. A lot of country music at the time that really, it was going on. I'm not a big country fan,
mm-hmm.
especially these days. Mm-hmm. But but the older stuff, was always kicking around like Dwight Yoakam, that kind of thing.
Right.
But it was always a musical deal.
When did you first start playing an instrument?
Well, I was always playing my mom was my first guitar tech because I played plastic Scooby-Doo guitars all the time. Mm-hmm. So she would restring them with fishing line, when I'd break one. I was on stage with my dad when I actually started taking it serious is after Wayne's World came out when I was like 11, and I heard the scene where Garth puts on Foxy Lady, the mm-hmm. Hendrix song, and mm-hmm. starts going after the waitress there at the place.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know who I was sitting there, and my mom took me and my friend to the theater to see Wayne's World, and I remember that song coming on. I was like, "Who is this?" My buddy was like, "It's Jimi Hendrix," and just the floodgates opened up, and that's whenever life really began as far as the guitar and everything, because I'd never heard that before because it was all more laid back stuff. And so that's when I started taking it serious. And then when I saw him actually play on started buying the video tapes and stuff like that, it really blew my mind. So I had the fuzzy Jimi Hendrix blacklight poster at that point and everything.
And that tune, Foxy Lady. So you hadn't ever heard it before the movie?
I hadn't, and if I had, it didn't register. That's maybe it's the first time I paid attention.
Mm-hmm.
But 11 years old, it really shocked my system for sure.
So you ran home, you bought the record, and
I ran home
and spun it crazy.
Yeah, my dad got me a Strat, and
you learned how to play the song.
Yeah, that's I tried to play the song. I probably wasn't very good at it at the time.
You should have started with an easier one. What my first song was on Christmas morning. I knew I was going to get a guitar and an amp. My brother and I, it was a gift to both of us. But I found it in my mom and dad's closet a couple of days early, so I knew I was getting it. So, I'm up at midnight. Oh, Santa's not here yet. I'm up at 2 o'clock. Santa's not here yet. 4 o'clock. Hey, Santa was here. Get my brother downstairs, and we turn it on. I never played a guitar, ever. Just my buddy had one, so I wanted one bad because I wanted to be in this band. And I learned Smoke on the Water because it's so easy.
Sure.
And I distorted a little guitar amp at 6 o'clock in the morning, throwing Smoke on the Water. Yeah. And I hear from upstairs, shut that thing up! Whoops, just made Santa.
Yeah.
But it's like, what a thing. Once you do that, it's over, man. That's all you do is play.
Yeah, I didn't really play. I couldn't get Foxy Lady, but J.J. Kell, Eric Clapton's version of Cocaine by J.J. Kell. My mom, to this day, still cannot stand to hear that song because I played it so much, those two chords, over and over again.
That's what it takes. Well, I think, just to kind of commemorate your official birth into rock and roll, we should spin a little Foxy Lady.
Go for it, please.
Jimi Hendrix.
Foxy. I come, baby. I'm coming to get you.
That music means it's time for our segment called Sam Says, where Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Sam Moore joins us. Sam, how are you doing?
This evening, I'm doing pretty good, my friend.
I'm glad to hear it. You've had a busy week.
I have had a busy week. I really would agree with you on that.
Tell me a little bit about the big show at the Hollywood Bowl. I wish I could have got out there on Wednesday.
Well, Hollywood Bowl, first of all, I you knew I went to New York to do the tribute mm-hmm. to Percy Sledge,
mm-hmm. right, with the Muscle Shoals band, and
yes,
at the Kennedy
was
Center.
It was one I really enjoyed. And then I came in and I did Sam Says, and then I left to go to L.A. to play at the Bowl.
It must be nice to be young.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, I got to tell you, for the first time in 50 years, I was scared that I was going to wet my pants because I was out of my. Much as I say, I don't like to get pigeonholed about
right.
things. This is a strict diehard jazz audience.
Right, right.
And it was a
tribute to Jaco Pastorius, right? That was the whole.
Yes, and the thing about it. With at the Bowl, they are very, very strict. You're
mm-hmm.
not supposed to talk.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want you taking pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And you must listen. And I saw Herbie Hancock. I saw, oh my God, I looked around and there was so many big times. I was like, man, what is this I'm into? What I've got myself into? Willie from The Tonight Show
sure.
with Letterman
mm-hmm.
played bass. Jocko's son,
mm-hmm.
Felix, one of the twins. And on and on and on. Oh, my God, Otto, it was. And they wanted me to do Come On, Come Over, which I think you
right.
played last week.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they asked me, would I do a song that Jocko always did himself, which was Fannie Mae.
Mm-hmm.
And we did Fannie Mae. Now, that was fine, but you got this big, big band sound of jazz.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. When I walked out there, I said to myself, what the hell have I got myself into here?
Here he is, R&B, rock and roll. You even have a record came out last year. I think it's even a year and a half old now. In bluegrass,
yeah.
bluegrass record. So
yeah, and so, that you know,
it's time for a jazz record, I guess.
That was bad enough, you know. And to have this and the audience, the people, as you're walking out. You know this is jazz. You know this is none other than.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave me a very warm standing ovation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, oh, God, I better not even lose a word in this thing.
That's funny.
And it was wonderful, Otto. It really was, man.
Well, you know, you talk about how you all these big names you were around, and I know that when everybody else got home, they were talking about how they got to hang out with Sam Moore or play with Sam, you know. That had to be
well,
quite a
thing.
Well,
that's what I heard. I heard it from Bobby Columbia that
mm-hmm.
produced Jocko's Come On, Come Over.
Mm-hmm.
And we spent 2 days together, and it was wonderful. And I tell you, Otto, It was amazing.
Cool.
Yeah.
Did they shoot any video? Is that something that's going to be out for the regular human beings to watch?
I don't know, because, you know, you can't take, like I said, you can't take pictures.
Right.
But I think there's something that maybe my camp worked around, and I think we'll probably get something that we can use for the near future.
Cool.
Yeah, I hope that happens, but it's a known fact. I mean, they have signs up there, please do not. Mm-hmm. Take pictures, you know. But I think it's...
Those are from the 60s. They just haven't taken them down.
Yeah. So they're going to have some. I think they're going to have something. And if they do, that's going to be very nice, my man.
Cool. Well, listen, I've got a guest on today. His name is Josh Kennedy, and he's a local rock and roll superstar. He's going to be somebody someday beyond this general Southwest. And I wanted him to say hello to you this evening. Hey, Josh.
How are you? How are
Josh,
you, Sam?
How are you?
I'm doing good, my friend. How are you?
My pleasure speaking with you, my man.
Wow.
Josh, growing up, he was kind of playing guitar because his dad was in a band, and he grew up in the Ozarks over in Missouri. But he said the day that he went to see the movie Wayne World was the first time he heard Foxy Lady by Jimi Hendrix, and he described that his life changed at that moment. That's when his musical life started. So we just listened to a little
right?
Jimi
yes,
Hendrix.
Wow. I mean, Jimi was... I don't know. Jimi was one of those. Well, Jimi had played around with everybody from Sam Cooke to the Isleys to Little Richard. And I also think he played guitar for Sam and Dave. And the reason I say it like that is because when he got up, we needed a guitar player that had OD'd himself, and we needed a guitar player in New York. And he had just left the Isleys, and came in, and I told him to hook up, and I got this big old band, and we were opening, at that time, we were opening with Hold On, I'm Coming, and I told him what we were going to do, and I would give up the count of my musical director, and what made Jimi Hendrix is why I fired him, because he was doing
Hold On,
I'm Coming with that guitar with all that noise, I called it.
Oh, my gosh.
He did, Otto. And I said to him first, I shook my head. No.
This is the Sammy Dave show.
And the next thing, we went into the song, and he did it again. And when he was going to do it, he could hear me. How can you hear me when you got this loud noise? So right on the stage, I said, get the hell off the stage.
Oh, my God.
And people said, what did you do? I said, well, we don't need that kind of playing up here. Tell him to get his butt off the stage. Unplug, man. And a year later, Otto, and Josh, a year later, he became... this phenomenon.
Right, right.
That is crazy.
And he called
me. You put
me
that story away for a while.
Yeah, and he got big. He was in England when all the things happened, and he came back to New York as a big, big Jimi Hendrix, you know what.
Superstar.
And he called me, and he reminded me, because I was all messed up at the time off of drugs. And he knew it. He explained to me what he would do, but he would not buy me drugs.
Oh, that's
kind of cool.
That's nice of him.
You like that, huh?
Yeah,
like that.
That's
I did. I did fire Jimi, and I'm going home. And everybody I tell that story to that that's they amazing. Know about, Jimi told a lot of people, because, you know, around what I did.
That's funny.
And they were going, when they would see me, they go, Sam, did you really fire Jimi Hendrix? And I said, no, Dave did.
Oh, that's awesome.
Of course.
Yeah.
I did. I really did do that.
You know what? I know you. I can see you. I can see you on stage turning around. And just because he wasn't doing what he needed to do, that's the bottom line. You got to go, dude. I don't care. You got to go. I can just see it happening. You know?
And the thing about it, I did it just before showtime.
Right.
Wow.
You know, we were having sound check. And he's doing all this. Over. Oh, man, come
that's,
on.
That's awesome.
Keep me playing that stuff.
That is awesome.
And, oh, God, I did do that. I can't believe I really
did. Well, you know what? It's a. You didn't do it. Dave did it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, Dave.
Yeah,
did.
I know.
That's
right. You know what? I know I'm going to pay for this when I see him, but right. I had to tell everybody. I told everybody, I said, that wasn't me. Where did you get that from? They did that.
They did that. You weren't there.
They did that.
That's funny. Well, listen, man, that's a great story. I want to drag you through another story. This week has marked the passing of Elvis, so there's been a lot of Elvis Presley stories and stuff mentioning. And I was just wondering, I don't know that you, I think you were invited by Priscilla Presley, if I recall, to do an event at one time in Memphis years ago. What was the event? I don't recall.
Well, it was a church.
And was it at Graceland, or did you just get to go through Graceland?
No, I didn't. I got a call. I was still living in L.A., and I got a call from Priscilla that wanted me personally to come and do a song in tribute to her husband, you know. Her former husband at the time. Mm-hmm. And I went down, and again, they had big-time musicians, mm-hmm. from Don Was to Miley Cyrus's father and mm-hmm. the Pointer Sisters. And guess what? Up in the audience, upstairs in Memphis, mm-hmm. up in the audience, guess who was sitting up in the audience during this time?
Who was it?
Michael Jackson.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
He and his sister were sitting up play box,
mm-hmm.
and he never came down. But I came in, and I did Always on My Mind.
Right.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I did that, and Marty Stewart and all these people, and I never shall forget that, and Kris Kristofferson.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, that another. I have been the most fortunate man that you would ever know.
And it's not over.
I wish it was.
Getting tired. Listen, I'm telling you something. You and I both know that you're going to be busier in the next 18 months than you have been for a long time. Lots going on.
Lots are going on.
But listen, there's a funny part of that story. When you got to visit Graceland.
Yes.
And I believe you went with Joyce.
Yeah, I did.
And I believe you guys had the family dog with you.
I did have the dog, and there was a young man from England, from London, that had won the lottery,
mm-hmm.
the local lottery. He didn't have the big, mm-hmm. you know, the big money, but he won. You know, obviously, probably half a million pounds or whatever it may have been, I don't know. But he came, and his one wish was to visit Graceland.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Otto, let me tell you something. I had never, during the times I recorded there and whatnot and did all my performances and whatnot off and on, I had never visited Graceland.
Wow.
Never. So I got a chance to do that, and I had my dog. And I remember we went there, and the night before that I went to do the show. And I had my dog with me. Yes, I did. And I know Elvis's fans are going to kill me for this. I had my dog, and he had to wet.
Right. He had to do what he had to do.
You know, he had to drop his pants. And my dog peed on the lawn of Elvis's property.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked down, and I couldn't look up. I have been through some embarrassing times on my own. So that's what happened there. But I knew Priscilla many, many years ago, and we had three. The security said we had 3 minutes to talk to her. She and I talked about 3.5 minutes, and my dog was peeing. Yeah, he was peeing. He was leaking.
Well, I understood that you guys actually were the first people to actually get permission for your dog to pee in the Graceland lot.
Well, they peed in Washington, too. I had them in the White House and all that. Oh, my God, I'm telling it now.
These dogs will do that. What president? Now who did you just piss off?
Let me see what president. The president was the Bush. Bushes.
Okay, amazing.
Yeah, and I had him there, and I was in the lunch room,
mm-hmm.
had him sitting right up under the table, and when I came out and I had a meeting trying to get the bill passed on fake acts at the time, they sat there, And the lady said, we'll take you for a tour. I said, I don't think you want to do this. And she said, no. We want to give you to a route. I know around the Capitol. I don't need, oh, come on, Sam. You know, you just, and when we got around to one side to see one of the politicians to ask for help to help pass this bill, I picked him up and there was a puddle. In the dining quarter. Yes.
There's a song in there. My dog peed in the White House. There's a song in there.
I know. The Tallulah peed all over the, you know.
Tallulah peed in the White House.
Yeah, that's my baby.
That's a title.
Oh, man.
That's awesome. And you know, and I know we're going to run out of time. We can always talk forever, but I did want to go to one other thing. You didn't have a chance to work with Elvis. He did a tune. One of his biggest hits was Hound Dog. But that song, I just recently found out, was actually written by Big Mama Thornton and put out before Elvis did it.
Actually, true.
And did you know her?
I knew of her, Otto. I saw her one time after her career had faltered a little bit. Most of it, you know, Big Joe Turner and all these people. I was at the Palomino. I went to the Palomino in L.A. To see her. And I'm telling you, she still had these big chops, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she could still, at the her illness and at her timing and everything, she could still rock a room, man.
She was a tough old blues woman.
She was. She awesome. And Big Maybelle and all these people. Oh, man. We were talking about that the other night. So it was wonderful, man. It really was. But no, I never... actually had a conversation with her.
Okay. Well, cool. You know what I would like to do? I'm going to spin, I've cut together a minute of her Hound Dog with another, followed by a minute of Elvis's Hound Dog, and I want to spin that kind of in honor of, you know, in a sense, celebrating Elvis's life. We kind of commemorated on the passing, which is an odd thing sometimes, but thought we'd do a little bit of that, and I think it's just astounding to hear Big Mama Thornton's version of Hound Dog.
So. Ain't nothing but a hound dog. Oh, yeah. She could rock,
and you know,
Big Mama.
You know, John Lennon cut that, too, on a record, so I do that in the Lennon Show, so it's pretty funny.
Is that right?
Everybody does
then
that.
Then I got to have you to come on the show.
I'll be right there with you. Hey, we did a duet. We did a duet of Imagine on New Year's Eve. That was fun.
We did. It came off. Did anybody ever? I don't think nobody ever.
I bet that's the first time you sang on stage with a guy in a wig.
Yes. Well, no, not really. No, that was somebody in Florida one time.
Okay.
But that was the first time
I talked about that on air.
Yeah, but he had a dress on too.
Yeah, I had a dress.
All right, Sam.
But it was wonderful.
Well, listen, thanks for your time tonight. Thanks for spending some time with us. And
we shall do this again.
Yeah, on Monday.
And let your guests know, Josh, huh?
Yep. Yes, sir.
Josh. It was a pleasure. One day, I hope to talk to you, my friend.
For sure. It was such an honor
talking to you.
Thank you,
and have a good career, my friend.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, too.
Here's a little Hound Dog by Big Mama
Thornton.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Let's not play them both at the same time, Mr. Computer Guy. Let's just do one at a time.
You told me you was high class, but I can see through that. Yeah, she told me you was. I said you was high class. Well, that was just a lie. Yeah, they said you was high class. Well, that was just a lie. Yeah, you ain't ever caught a rabbit, and you ain't no friend of mine. You ain't nothing but a hound dog, crying all the time. You ain't nothing but a hound dog, crying all the time. Well, you ain't ever caught a rabbit, and you ain't no friend of mine.
So there's the little hound dog.
You're listening to The Record Industry with Otto D.
Good night, my friend.
Hey, Sam. Thanks for being with us, man. It's been a pleasure.
We shall do it again.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. And so, Elvis Presley there.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Takes you back.
I forgot it was the anniversary. I didn't, you know, we're so checked out of society.
Well, you know what?
When it comes to anything else other than the band, that I didn't realize it was the anniversary of the death.
Well, speaking of the band, there was another band you mentioned that was an inspiration to you growing up, and that was a local group.
Yeah, the Jim Blossoms.
The Jim Blossoms. And if we weren't completely out of time, we'd spin one of their records. So instead, we'll just have it maybe playing underneath our goodbye here. So, Josh, thanks so much for coming in, man. I know
Thank you,
you
Otto.
Just got back in town, and I know you have plenty to do, and you're going to be heading right back out. So I appreciate your time.
Thank you, my friend, for having me.
And tell the rest of the crew, you know, if the room were bigger, we'd have had you.
Yeah. They're fine.
All right, take care. So, everybody, thanks for listening. And next week, my guest will be Steve Bergsman. He's going to be in. We're going to be chatting about his book called The Seduction of Mary Wells. So come back next Monday night.